So as we gather this morning, it's good to see you all. Shall we pray? God, we want to thank you that wherever we've been this week, whether we've been at home, whether we've been in our local communities, whether we've been travelling to other countries or whatever we've been doing, we want to thank you, God, that you've been with us. That there is nowhere, there is no when, there is no how that we can be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you've been with us in the times this week that have been good. Times of things that we can celebrate, things that we can rejoice over. And you've been with us in the moments that we've found difficult, maybe because they've been sad or they've been heavy or they've been intense. Thank you that you have been alongside us for every moment of every day. Even when we've been asleep, you've been watching over us. And we thank you that your knowledge of us is just awesome. It blows our minds when we think of how much you know about us and yet you love us. That your love is not conditioned on what we do or how we behave. Your love is like a vast ocean. And God, this morning we want to just take an opportunity to bask in that ocean, to feel loved, supported, encouraged, buoyed up by your amazing love. And so, God, we just want to bring you in this time, act of worship, as we acknowledge who you are, as we praise you for who you are. We want to bring you our minds as we think about things together. And we bring you who we are as a gathering, not just because we come on our own, but we come as a community and we bring the community to you and we gather together that we might do things together that are bigger and somehow better because we are together than we could do on our own. And so, God, we invite you, not that we need to invite you because you're here already, but we invite you to be with us in some kind of conscious, tangible, spirit-filled way. Join with us as we seek after you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. So, question. Has anybody found this last year a little bit weird? Or maybe I should put the question the other way around. Anybody not found this last year a little bit weird? It's been a really weird year. Yeah. And the weirdness hasn't finished yet. We know this. None of us really know what's going to happen in the week ahead, let alone the month ahead, let alone for the rest of the year, and let alone when things are going to get back to whatever normal might mean in the future. We all know that we live, as the Chinese proverb says, in interesting times, for good and for bad. They are interesting times. And we're all familiar now with the sense that we need to forget some of the former things, although some of us find that harder than others. And we need to be looking to the things that God is doing now and wants to do in our future. And this is a challenge. And one of the biggest challenges that we face this year, as we think about new things, doing new things in new ways, it's Christmas. What a weird, from our point of view, what a weird Christmas we are looking ahead to. What a weird season we have ahead of us. It will be like nothing any of us have ever experienced before. And we can do two things. We can bury our head in the sand and we can say, hey, that's above my pay grade. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to let somebody else think about that. Or we can collectively as a community shape Christmas in a new way, in a way that does a number of important things. We're going to dig into some of those important things in a little while. But we can either say, hey, we're a hostage to fortune, don't know what to do, or we can say, actually, God has a plan and a purpose here. And we can listen for what God wants us to do, how God wants us to respond, and how, as a community, we can respond together in the weirdness of this Christmas. What we know is, as I've already said, it will not be like any Christmas we've ever had before. And that's both good and bad. That's both exciting and challenging. That's both an opportunity and a threat. So what are we going to do in this Christmas season? And so we're going to take some time this morning thinking, praying, sharing about Christmas, about some of the principles behind Christmas. And we're going to have an opportunity together to discuss some of the things, some of the ways that we might like to respond to the opportunities that God lays before us in this Christmas season. At Christmas, we, as you all know, we focus on the person of Jesus, God incarnate, God becoming flesh and blood, God coming out of the heavenly realms and into a physical manifestation of God's presence. And in Jesus, we see the perfect manifestation of an unknown, unseen God. We see the perfect manifestation of what God would look like in the flesh. God, the abstract idea, becomes the incarnate word. And we're going to take a little bit of time this morning, just as we come together, just to focus a little bit on the nature of that God, the nature of that person. And we're going to do that, first of all, through a couple of songs, just reflecting on the nature of God and the person of Jesus. And so if you'd like to join with me in singing these songs, sharing these songs, then we will do that now. Not only is the name of Jesus a powerful name, but the name of Jesus is the name above all names. He is our King of Kings, our Majesty. Maybe one or two would like just to offer prayers of praise to our King of Kings, the Majesty of Heaven. You need to unmute yourself to be able to do that.
We praise you, Heavenly Father. You are a great and amazing and fantastic God. And I'm so sorry for speaking for myself, that often in the mundane, humdrum things of life, we forget that. And I forget that. And I just treat you like a name on a page in the Bible or historical figure sometimes. But you are glorious. You made everything. You rule over all, and your love is overwhelming. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today to come back together and to proclaim exactly who you are and your greatness. And may we all feel your greatness in our hearts. And may you fill us with the Holy Spirit. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Loving Father, we just look to you this morning, Lord, because you are our hope and our strength and our encouragement, Lord. We just want to lift our hearts to you this morning. We lift our hands to you, Lord. We just thank you that you bless us and that you've made a way back to God through that curtain, Lord, that the high priest could only enter once a year. But we can go in at any time, and we just thank you, Lord. We can come into your presence and know your peace and your joy and your contentment. We thank you, Lord, that you bless us. We don't deserve it, Lord, as we've just been singing. We don't deserve. But, Lord, you've done it because you love us with an everlasting love. And we just praise you this morning, Lord. We lift our voices and our hearts and our minds and our bodies in praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord, be enthroned through the songs in our lips, the thoughts in our hearts, the moving of your spirit with our spirit. We worship you this morning. Amen. So, Christmas. It's going to be weird. We know that. And we're not the first to experience a weird Christmas. And for the first 300 years of the Christian church, people didn't celebrate Christmas. There was no Christmas until about 326, 330 AD, something of that nature. There was no such thing as Christmas. It just didn't exist. The early church didn't see that as important. And there was no marking of Jesus' birth, the incarnation, any of those kind of things. So for about 300 years, the church didn't do Christmas. It wasn't a question they had to face. But obviously, at some point along the way, people thought, you know what, this is important. And we need to recognize just how significant that incarnation was and is still in people's lives. And so the idea of Christmas was invented. And then, of course, a few centuries after that, about 12 centuries after that, to be precise, in this country, we had 5 years where Christmas was banned. Oliver Cromwell, New Model Army, changing of Parliament, all that kind of stuff. For about 5 years, there was no Christmas. And there was no decorations, there was no giving of gifts. And Christmas was a day to sit at home and read your Bible and pray. That was Christmas, which actually might sound an awful lot like how Christmas might be this year for many of us. So maybe Cromwell was right after all. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. We'll debate that some other time. But the point is that Christians down the centuries have celebrated Christmas in a number of different ways. The way that we think about Christmas today is as much steered by the Victorians. What do the Victorians ever do for us? By the Victorians, particularly one Victorian gentleman, scholar and writer in particular, who wrote a particular piece of work which has, to a large extent, shaped the Western understanding, the global understanding of what Christmas should be about. Who might I be thinking of?
Charles Dickens.
Yes, Charles Dickens, and the piece of literature is
A Christmas Carol,
or as my most favourite rendition of the Christmas Carol is the Muppets version.
Yep,
and they had that written by Dahl's chicken. Because why not mess around with it if you're the Muppets? Yeah. Anyway, beside the point. So for most of us in the West, our understanding of what Christmas is and how to celebrate Christmas is shaped by Charles Dickens and the way that the Victorians celebrated Christmas. And actually, what we need to recognise is that when Dickens was writing this in the late 1840s, he actually shaped the way that the Victorians understood Christmas in their own generation. A lot of the things that he talked about were newfangled things of his day. They weren't widely accepted, but because of the success of his story, they became almost universal by the end of the Victorian era and became the way that Christmas had to be done. And if we were in the centuries before then, the way that it looked would have been very, very, very different. So the point I'm trying to make is that wrestling with how we celebrate Christmas is not a new thing for Christians. It's something that has been wrestled with at many different times and for many different reasons down the centuries. So we are standing, as we wrestle with this morning, we are standing with other good men and women down the centuries that have asked similar questions. How should we, how can we celebrate the significance of the incarnation, God, becoming a human being and walking with us. How can we do that? How should we do that in 2020? What's the significance of it? What are the principles behind it that we should be seeking to capture and to use for our own celebrations this year? Another aspect of things that we need to think about this morning, as well as principles, are the practicalities. And we're actually asking this question because of so many practicalities have changed. So it's not just theoretically, what could we do? What should we do? Not just theologically, what does the incarnation mean? We also need to think practically. So we can't meet together in one place as we would normally do, to sing carols and eat mince pies, or to eat mince pies and maybe sing a few carols. We can't do those things this year. We're not allowed. The rule of six is with us until who knows when. By the time we get to Christmas, it could be the rule of two. Who knows? This thing changes on an almost daily basis. And it looks as if you're in Manchester, you're going to go and do your own thing anyway. Who knows? These things are all up in the air. But what we do know is that we can't do the things that we would normally do. As a community, as a church, as families, this Christmas will be different. So what is it that we will be able to do? We won't be able to meet in the community centre, for example. We're going to have to think about a different way, and I know David's doing this, think about a different way that Panto or something like that could be done. It will be very different. But we're guided by what we can practically do. So we need to think about, how is this practical? What can we do indoors? What could perhaps we do outdoors? What can we do online? How do we do this strange thing in this strange year? It also doesn't mean that we have to reinvent the wheel on our own. What are other people doing that maybe we can learn from, maybe join in with? What are other churches doing? What are other Christians doing? What can we learn from others and maybe join in with what they're doing? And then another thing we need to think about is that historically, Christmas has been a really good time for Christians to engage their Christian friends and non-Christian friends, families, work colleagues, neighbours, all those kind of things. How do we engage people who both know and love the story of Jesus, but also those that have never really engaged with the story of Jesus? How do we use this season to engage with people? Because Christmas is one of the key, or has been traditionally one of the key times that Christians have been able to talk about Jesus with any kind of openness. How do we do that this year? What might that look like? And what do we need to do to help us to think about that or prepare for that? Is there anything we need to do? Or do we feel that we're ready to do it? We just need to know how to do it. So we need to think about that as well. And we need to think about, how does that look across different generations? So what might that look like to younger people or to older people? What might that look like to families or people on their own, for example, different cultures? What does this look like in a very diverse culture? And how do we think about what we do that connects with a number of different elements of our diverse culture? And then finally, for me, I'm going to shut up in a second, let you have some talking. And finally, for me, Advent is not just Christmas Day. Advent is a season, runs for the 4 weeks before Christmas. And so we might focus our attention on Christmas Day, but actually, what does the season look like? And we don't have to cram everything into one day or 1 week. What might that Advent season look like that enables us to maybe connect with different people in different ways? So these are some of the questions that I've got bubbling in my brain. But what are the questions that you've got bubbling in your brain? What are the things that we need to think about that I've not mentioned in this that we need to consider? What are your thoughts? Yeah, Emma.
I was thinking about this morning because I was reading an article on the BBC app about what churches have been doing in lockdown and the difference between us and any of the churches that they mentioned is the fact that we don't own a building and therefore we always have to work peripatetically.
Yeah.
A lot of these churches were doing great things with food banks, clothing banks, counselling sessions. So they were bringing people in through the door and then they were able to send them to the right kind of support and give them support and encouragement. And basically their churches, because they had this much more social rather than just religious outlook in the way that they communicated with the general public, they were able to start that conversation, you know. And that is either our blessing or our curse, depending on how we manage it. And it's when you don't have a door that you can throw open and welcome people in, you then, you know, how do you meet people? Because you're meeting people at their front door, and their front door can be like a fortress. You know, it's much harder to have that conversation. Or is it, you know? But I was thinking of those things this morning.
Yeah, good question. Where is the front door of the church? I would say, on the basis that there are, what, 12 screens in front of me, there's at least 12 front doors to the church represented here this morning. The church was never one building. The church was always the people. So wherever...
I was thinking about that, you know, because we had that conversation a few weeks ago when we were talking about the original church with small meetings in people's houses. So I was also thinking of that, you know, and that in these times, maybe those small meetings are walks, you know, get a group of three or four or five people together and you have a little walk, or, you know, you have, I don't know, or actually, yeah.
That's really helpful, I think, because it helps us to see that what we can't do collectively, we can still do communally, i.e. inviting other people, but it might take place in our home, it might take place outside. But what it's likely to be, or one possible way it might be, is a network of small gatherings, a network of different kinds of gatherings. So we're not all doing the same thing at the same time, but collectively we're doing different things at different times in different ways that reach a wider group of people. So, yeah, so we need to think about the where and we need to think about the how. What we can't do is do one big thing together, but what we can do are lots of little things on our own, but be supporting one another. So we can be sharing with one another, we can be praying for one another for the things that we can do. Yes, excellent. Other thoughts?
Hello, everybody. So I've been pondering this idea since for the last 12 hours. And I've had a bath this morning as well, so that helped. And it's around the Advent calendar. So there's 12 of us sat around here, like you say. There's 25 days on the calendar. But what I was thinking is also, if you listen to Radio 4 at all at 7:45 in the morning, there is a thought for the day. And... I'm pondering, and this means the technical people need to lift up their ears, which Mark isn't here, so he needs to hear this as well.
Paul is.
Paul is, though, so he may be able to help here, is for on our website for there to be a calendar that is opened at a certain time every day by whoever goes to the website and finds who is in the calendar today, giving today's thought for what does the incarnation of Christ mean for me today on the, for instance, Advent 15, Tuesday the 15th of December. And then there's a 4 or 5 minute clip of or presentation by video, which would be really good, of any one of us or any of our friends or relations to the church who could put forward their very carefully, spiritually thought through, what is God saying to me today about Advent, about the incarnation, the looking forward to Jesus coming into our lives. And no one, apart from maybe Paul or Mark, whoever does the technical bit, and everyone, any whoever rounds up these people, will actually know who it is who is inside the calendar on that particular day. And it may also be a means by which we can say to our various people we relate to in any other way, why don't you go and see our church's Advent calendar and see who's there and see. So I'm imagining there may be people who have a little bit, so, well, I can't create anything like that because I don't have a phone which can video anything or any, you know, video people. It may be that some of us might be able to actually go and video someone like, I'm going to pick on Eric now, actually having a thought for the day on a particular day. And Julie and I go and visit Eric and Dot and make a little film. And we put that up online, or one of our technical people puts that up online for that, programmed in for that day. Obviously it won't be recorded on that day, but it will be there available. And if like Lisa's guided many of us to Lectio Divina, Lectio 365, it's an app that you then pick up, and at midnight, from midnight onwards for the whole of that day, you can go and listen to, well, yeah, you can listen to any other time after that as well, but you can listen to a thought for the day for that day, and it's specific for that day, and it's God's word for us to hear.
Yeah. You're also saying, because some of us might be a bit daunted about coming up with 5 minutes of intelligent thought to talk about, but you were saying that you could include read words of a carol or a poem or a Bible. It doesn't have to be just,
no,
you don't need to talk deep thought for 5 minutes.
No. So, but it really is, what does the incarnation of Christ mean for me today on this day? And that can, that the creativity is vast and broad, as is the creativity of God. So that could be going for a walk and showing the view from St. Catherine's Hill, or it might be sat in a chapel in one of the hospitals, or it could be a description of how God has shown himself in the looking after of a cat or a dog, or it might, all kinds of, all manner of things. Put that to you all.
Excellent. Thank you. That's a really good thought. Other questions, other things we need to consider, or other things coming out of people's minds? Yeah, David or Julie, whichever.
Well, again, with I'm thinking about Panto, and what I've said to a couple of other people this week, it's look at what's permissible in terms of how you constitute an audience, looking at what's possible, and then filling that space. The boundaries of whatever we can do, and create something probably shorter, probably about half an hour, 40 minutes, maybe online, maybe outside, but something, a bit of light in the darkness.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm very big on John's idea, and I bags his Saturday 19th, because obviously that's
Please. Yeah. That's we don't want to know. We don't want to know when it's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay. A surprise.
Yeah. Oops, spoiler alert. Yeah. So, you're right. The creativity of God is in this. And look at what's possible. Look at what we're capable of, and then make it happen.
Yeah, good. So, yeah, Emma.
Sorry, I had another question, which was about how do we reach out to the people that have been most affected this year by coronavirus. So it's either people who have been ill or lost family members, or been made redundant, or not been able to get work because they're a young person and that's very difficult, or who have lost their business, or whose business is struggling. Because for many of us, life has been all right, and we've managed to keep working and things have been okay. There have been different pressures. But for, you know, weak is not doesn't come high on the indices of social deprivation. So there aren't issues in weak that you would perhaps get in inner cities, but that doesn't mean to say that people haven't been affected negatively by what's happened this year.
So outside of Christmas, but leading into Christmas, mm-hmm. Lisa and I are launching a group called Empty Hands, which begins in about 2 weeks' time, which is looking at exactly those things that you've just identified. So mm-hmm. anybody who's experienced some kind of loss, it might be through bereavement, it could be redundancy, it could be they've lost their home, it might be they've lost their sense of security, they've lost their faith, it doesn't matter what they've lost, but people who feel a sense of loss in this season, or you know, for whatever reason, will be invited to participate, are invited to participate through an online group that will lead us into the Christmas season, and we will also be looking at what does loss look like in the face of Christmas and other life events. So that's coming.
Thank you. Yeah. I've probably missed that because I haven't been here regularly in the last month.
Yeah. So starting, I think it's the 3rd of November, I think that's starting, something like that. Tuesday the 3rd, I think it is.
How's that being promoted or advertised for these people that Emma's just referred to? How will they know it's there?
So you can refer people to the website, and either to the church website or to the Empty Hands website, which is live and available.
But so it needs to be a sort of person, we need to know who these people are to be able to flag them to it. I'm just wondering if there's any way someone who's lost their job that doesn't have contact with the church would know it was there.
So the first group we're running is kind of like a pilot group. And so we've been quite careful in our advertising, because what we don't want to do is overpromise and underdeliver. What we want to do is we want to deliver something that is useful, but with a smallish group that we can learn from, so that we can make sure that what we're doing is good and valued, and yeah, it is, you know, we can test that with a smaller group the first time. And it would be, we don't mind where people come from, you know, it's open to anybody, but you need to contact us through the Empty Hands website to make contact, so we can then book you in to that to send you the Zoom link, etc. Anything, Lisa, anything else that you'd want to add to what I've just said?
Yeah, just to add on to what Danny said, I've sent the website link to a couple of people outside of this church, and I've had some feedback from them. One is a Christian and one isn't a Christian, and they both said the same thing. They said that they want to kind of understand the people behind Empty Hands, which is quite interesting because there's quite a lot about Danny on there, but they obviously haven't seen the links. But they feel quite vulnerable. They both said that because it's talking about quite a vulnerable subject, exactly the stuff you've mentioned, Emma. I think the realization came that the link, that the people coming on the course are probably going to come from people we know, because they do feel that it's a very vulnerable thing that people are going to be sharing about. So I would just encourage you, if there are people you can think of for exactly the kind of things that Emma's mentioned, please let Danny or I know about them, because I think it's only going to come from having some pre-conversations about it. So yeah, please please do encourage them. As Danny said, it's a pilot, so we're testing our way as we go along with this. But the link is, there is very much a link to Christmas and to those people that we know are going to struggle for whatever reason. We know there's going to be a lot more people struggling, so we just want to find a bunch of people. We have got, I've sent it out quite a few to people I know who are struggling with lots of different things, and they are pondering and thinking about it. But it is quite a brave move to come online and to share about this kind of stuff. So encourage you to make connections, please, for us.
It's also about Christmas and Christmas Day, the Christmas season. So, you know, if you've experienced these losses, and this is what we're talking about Christmas, that, you know, your normal Christmas celebrations are going to look very different, your normal family celebrations. There might be people missing from the table, or there might be gatherings that are not able to take place, or there might not be presents under the Christmas tree. You know, they're all those kind of things that make this Christmas particularly unusual.
So there's a whole session, a whole week given over to that explore as part of Empty Hands.
Thank you.
So other thoughts, other questions, other things we need to consider?
I've got two thoughts of things we should do. And one is, we can still have a Zoom Christmas social. We can all get together. We can have our own mince pies. Thought about asking Margaret to get everyone a mince pie, but then I thought we'd all have to deliver to Margaret half a dozen mince pies, and that might be a bit counterproductive. So if we get our own mince pies, we can have some sort of social event as a fellowship, which I think would be a good thing. And also, I mean, I know there's a sort of thing to do with sort of throwing away the old and bringing in the new, but at the same time, a lot of people who aren't connected with church do value the oldness of, you know, the number of people who watch the what they call it, the nine lessons and carols at King's or something like that.
Yeah.
So people do appreciate a good old carol service with readings and candles. Well, you can do all of that online, and all these people that we know who have come from outside church and have come along to our carol service in the past, there's no reason why they couldn't be invited to the same. And you can play carols, sharing a screen. We can have different people around the congregation or outside, even just as we've done in the past, doing readings. So, you know, they are up for doing Zoom meetings, like Neil Pittman, who was from the social club and the community centre, who did a reading last year or the year before. You know, he's been part of community centre committee meetings online, so, you know, there's no reason why people can't participate in that. So I think we could still try and recreate the community carols online.
Great.
Just wondering whether we'd like to sort of then record that and potentially, like we normally do, put it out on Winchester Radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Okay, other thoughts?
I've got one other thing based on theatre. And when I was living in London years ago, I went on this kind of walking theatre performance. So I was met at a certain point by a person, and I was taken by that person to different venues in the East End of London, where there'd be tableaus or poems or something that would happen in front of me, and then I was walked to the next point. And it occurred to me that we could do something like that, because it's very, very, involves very small gatherings of people. You could almost do it around Winchester, where you take like two or three people to different points, and at each point you have a reading from the Bible or a relevant piece of theology or a conversation, or, and then they get taken on to the next place. Just a thought.
Yeah, thank you.
That sounds an exciting idea. We'd have to sort of watch out for how that counts as mingling and all that sort of thing. But it's ambitious and creative.
Mm. Yeah, and may fit into a way of doing panto or something.
We're just pondering here. Are we allowed to sing outside?
Yes. We are. Winchester currently is tier one.
Yes.
And that means that there is, with appropriate social distancing, then there can be gathering outside for, I think it's, I'm not quite sure what the numbers are. So yeah, we need to check into how the numbers work, but yeah. There can be, you could do carol singing outside, for example.
Well, there could be two groups of six, for example, in different locations.
Yes.
Doing carol singing and readings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. So we need to check on the rules. The rules could change between now and Christmas, so we need to be aware of that. But we can definitely do some things with social distancing outside. Yes.
There's groups of six inside and outside.
So, yeah, groups of six inside or outside. Yes. You can certainly sing outside.
Mm-hmm.
There are less restrictions. Singing indoors is not a good thing.
Yeah.
And the groups of six, I mean, if you go to a restaurant or a pub, it's you can have two groups of six meeting, but 2 metres apart.
Yeah.
So you can have one group of six that's watching and one group of six that's singing, but they've got they're 2 meters apart.
Yeah, not allowed to sing indoors, but
outside. Yeah.
But yeah, you can do things outside, yeah. Okay. Other thoughts, other questions, other things we should consider? Lisa, yeah.
I sort of link into what Jonathan was saying earlier. I think Jonathan's idea is brilliant. I think that's really could be a really tangible way forward and something quite interactive and something that maybe could potentially involve us all. I suppose my only caution with that is my sense, and I don't know how everyone's thinking here, is that we're a bit technologied out and we don't all naturally in this group. We're not natural technology people. There's only a few of us that are here. So to keep the focus on the connection in the doing of those thoughts for the days and not on the technology and the kind of delivery of the technology, because there's so much online anyway already that people can tap into for Christmas and thoughts for the day and prayer lines. And there's lots of national stuff with lots of gifted people doing that. So I think if the focus is on something for our community and us as a group and for us to connect, then I think that could be really, really powerful.
Yeah, thank you.
But that's just an opinion. It's not necessarily anything odd at all.
Yeah, no, we're going to hear and weigh all things, and we're going to do that carefully in a minute. So, Julie, yeah.
Well, it just occurred to me, if we can't sing and speak much outside, particularly up here, you know, just a general idea is to use a visual and, you know, bring art and, you know, sculpture, whatever, into it. I mean, this is just a really general idea, but, you know, display boards or, you know, screens in the town, in the community, with images representing, you know, Christmas from a Christian point of view.
Yeah.
Just that, because the visual's always there. People walk past it. It's not going to contravene any rules.
Yeah, excellent. Good thought. Yeah. And it maybe we can link some of the things we've just been talking about in that kind of way through local outlets. So just, you know, top of my head, I'm just thinking here, you know, you could have a screen, for example, at, for example, Waitrose, if they were willing to let you do it, that enabled people to see the thought for the day as they went to do their shopping. So
Yeah.
Ever.
Right.
Cool. So other questions? Yeah, Lisa.
Sorry, just linked on to Julie's thinking there. We have just set up, and Linda might want to add into this, we just have set up a Creative Hands group. And one of the things we're going to be focusing on is what COVID's meant to us in this period. And we were talking about not having kind of an outlet for it. And one of the thinking has been, it doesn't necessarily have to be just the six of us that met, because Terry, you've been mentioned several times for the group. It's kind of like, why isn't Terry here? It's kind of like, there are some very naturally creative people just on, you know, this Zoom today. My only reservation with all these ideas, I'm being realised, I am maxed out till Christmas. I cannot, I'm completely maxed out with work and study and everything else. So it's great to have the ideas. My question is, who's going to implement them? So I think there's an issue about what's practical and realistic and of all these ideas, which I'm sure you and Church Council will all be thinking of those questions.
Good. Any other thoughts you want to share, anybody wants to share at this point? Yeah, Terry.
The idea of a carol service and a readings and all those sorts of things have flitted across my brain. But one of the little ones I was thinking of was, I've got a little cluster of about four neighbours that I speak to in and around. And one of them was just to get a little bottle of mulled wine and some mince pies and deliver that with Christmas greetings. Excuse me. No. Oh, yeah.
This is live, folks.
Yeah. Just to get
mulled wine.
Just something very low key, but which is much more personal.
You could tie a barrel under his neck, and then he could deliver.
Yes, just have his name on it. That's about it. But, yeah. So just something very low key like that. We've got one of the couples that lives opposite has a 3-year-old. So I was thinking of putting little first Christmas storybook inside a bag and giving that across as well. But just something very small, practical.
Yeah, brilliant. Christmas is a time, you know, we reflect on God giving of God's self in the guise of Jesus. And so there's an opportunity for us, as we feel able to give to others as an expression of that, and the whole purpose of Christmas gifts, all that kind of stuff, it is theologically supposed to be rooted in that sense of giving rather than receiving, which is exactly what you're tapping into there, Terry, that sense of being able to do something, however small, for those around us, but it potentially engages them in conversation and questions. So yeah, excellent. Goes back to what we said at the beginning of perhaps of lots of different people doing different things, but sharing those together so that we can be praying for one another and praying for those that we're connecting with. Yeah, excellent. Any other thoughts? So obviously we need to be, we've got lots of thoughts there, which is fantastic. So thank you for that. Lots of ideas, lots of things to consider. But of course, what we want to do is we want to be a people who are not just coming up with good ideas because they're good ideas. We want to be people who are doing the things that God is calling us to do, and God who is motivating our actions because it's what's on God's agenda for this season. And so we're going to just take an opportunity to come in prayer. We want to pray about these things that we've just been talking about and get a sense of where God is leading and where God is guiding. Appreciate at this point in time, we might all have different reactions to some of those ideas that have just been suggested. And that's okay. We need to weigh these things together. So in a moment, we're going to be praying. And as we prepare ourselves to pray, we're just going to ask God, by using a song, which is also a way of praying, to open the eyes of our hearts that we might see him. so that we might then be able to lead and guide others and ourselves and our community this Christmas season. So we'll use this song. And then as we come out of the song, we're going straight into prayer. So please feel free to pray for God to speak and to reveal what's on God's heart as we pray these things through. Okay.
Almighty Father God, we are fizzing with ideas of how we can best serve you at Christmas time. And there are good reasons to do these things, and there are some good reasons not to do these things. So we ask your discernment, Lord. We ask that you sift and weigh, and that you help us to know what it is we should be doing, and then enable us, empower us to go out and do it. Lord, help us to do the right thing for each other, for our communities, and for you, most especially for you. And may this happen, Lord, by the power of your Spirit and to the glory of the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you that we are image bearers, Lord. We are each made in your image. And thank you for the creativity that's just arisen this morning, Lord. The variety, and as David says, the fizz of ideas that are there, Father. And Lord, just as we've been singing that song, I sense that, Lord, you've given us eyes, but we see you differently based on different generations. Whether we're children, young people, young families, middle-aged, or in retirement, Lord, we each perceive you differently, and you've made us different, Father. And I just pray that you might ignite your Spirit, Lord, in each of these ideas, in each of us, Lord, that we might be prepared to step out of our comfort zones, Lord, and to just trust your Spirit in what you're leading each one of us to do, Lord. Help us to recognise, Lord, that you are with us, you are for us, you're not against us. And that you long, Lord, you long to reveal yourself, Lord. You became flesh among us, Lord. Lord, we don't need to work it all out because we can trust that you have already done that for us. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, we cry to you to awaken our own, each and every spirit, Lord, and to respond to your calling. Thank you, Lord, that you're so faithful. You love us regardless of what we do. You love us anyway. And we praise you for that, Lord. Amen.
Loving Lord Jesus, we who are blank concerning all this, Lord, we just pray that what will be decided, Lord, we all might get behind to back what is going to be done. And Lord, we pray too that what will be done will touch hearts and lives with a glorious message that God came on earth for us to be saved. And Lord, may lives be changed and God be glorified. Committed to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, this Christmas season is a season of joy. And joy isn't just a superficial thing, Lord, but it's something which goes bone deep. And something to which hearts and minds respond, Lord, so different to a fleeting happiness, Father. I just pray that in the midst of the gloom and the unknown and the uncertainty, Father, that the joy of this season will float to the top, that it will be centre and that it will be noticed by others, Father, that the joy of knowing you, the joy of being your child, the joy of celebrating this season will show through, will show out, Father, and will be that light and that attractive thing, Father, that will draw people to you and raise questions and just be different and noticed, Father, when the normals can't happen. Father, I just pray that the joy of this season will become the focus and the driving point and the response point and the bubble that comes out and just is seen for all. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I can see Emma's just put on the chat, is that are there people who need practical help? And Lord, if there are, I pray you'd be pointing them out to us so that we can see and know that you're leading us to them to give practical help. So Lord, if that's something you want us to do, Lord, I pray you'd open our eyes and prompt us in that direction. Amen.
I was thinking that, actually thinking what Lisa had said about just being maxed out. And the story of the incarnation involved a huge amount of people. So there were angels and there were wise men and there were shepherds and there was a Mary and a Joseph and all the people that we know of the story. But they all heard a call and they all responded to the same call to do different things. And they only did those things because they responded to the call to which they, the particular aspect of the incarnation that they were involved with. And I rather like this because here we are, 2,000 years later, responding to the same call of the message as Eric's prayed, of sharing that story. And we can be taking part, are called to take part, not just it would be a lovely thing to do, but actually we are called to take part in that story, to share that good news in the specific way which we are drawn to by the Holy Spirit. And we can kind of relax in that because we know that we will be given everything that we need in order to fulfill that little aspect that each of us may or may not have in whatever that might be.
And that's ultimately where we're brought to, is that question of what are we being called to do? And that will become the question that we will take away. It's not a question of what are others being called to do. It's a question of what am I called to do? Who am I called to do it with? How am I called to do it? And recognizing that we may all be called to do different things. And that's okay. But we need to be able to share those things with one another so that we're aware of what others are doing. And so we can be praying for one another as we do those different things in different places. And so what I'm going to encourage are two things. The first is I'm going to ask you, encourage you to continue to be praying about this over the next week or so. And the ideas that have been put forward, I'm going to write up into a table and we'll circulate that table. And I'd like you to prayerfully look at that table and tick your responses and obviously put your name on it and return it to me by a week tomorrow, please. I'm not being hard and fast about that. If you haven't replied by a week tomorrow, I'm not going to come chasing you. But we need to get a sense of what we're being called to do individually and collectively, and to begin to put some thoughts around that and some organization and support around that, so we can be aware of what each other are doing, and we can either encourage or support one another in doing that, or discern our response to what God is asking us to do this Christmas season. And so we need to do that in a timely way. So I'm going to encourage you to do that by a week tomorrow, and to sort of prayerfully consider that form, return it to me, so that we can begin to organise what it is that we do and make some decisions about that going forward. Does that sound okay with everybody? Any questions about that? Good. Thank you for your engagement with this question this morning. And we need to keep seeking God in this, don't we? Day by day, as we discern what God is calling us to. We spent a lot of time this morning thinking about how it will be different. It will be different. It will. But that's okay, because we're doing it with God, and we're doing it as we feel led by God, and we're doing it with the encouragement and support of one another, which is kind of what the early church did, wasn't it? So I want to encourage us this morning that what we're about is, I think, a significant step forward for us as a church. It's not just about Christmas. It's actually discerning how God is leading us as a community to discover a new way of being community that will take us forward into next year and the years beyond. So I want to encourage us in that. This is good stuff that we're about. This is important stuff. This is holy stuff. This is God stuff. And it will be significant both now and for the future. So thank you for engaging with us this morning in that. Final thought for this morning is this. It's a thought we've already expressed, but the thought is that we don't do this alone. We do this with God. Jesus came that first Christmas to show us the way of God when people had got really confused about what that looked like and what it meant. Jesus came to bring clarity where there was confusion. He came to bring faith where there was doubt. He came to bring hope where there was hopelessness. Jesus came to be our rescuer. And that's the thought we're going to finish with. Because even llamas need Jesus too. Let's pray together. Jesus, we want to thank you this morning that you came to be our rescuer. You came to rescue the religious and the irreligious. You came to rescue those who knew God and those that were far from God. You came to rescue the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the ordinary people. And we want to thank you, God, this morning that your mission has never changed. You still love to reach people wherever they are, whoever they are, to know that you love them that you have saved them. They are safe in your arms. God, we pray for one another this morning as we face the Christmas ahead, that you might lead each one of us, that you might rescue us from the past. You might rescue us in this moment. You might rescue us for the future. So God, we pray this morning that we might be fearless as we look at what you're calling us to do and be. We might be chainless. We might be ready to embrace what you're calling us to do. Come, God, by your Spirit, change us, release us, and encourage us, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.